congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you." And Moses said to Aaron, "Go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded." Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him and dipped his finger in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, and poured the blood of the base, the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat, the kidneys, and the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering, he burned on the altar as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar. Then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin like the first one. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar, besides the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar, and the fat from the bull and the ram, the fatty tail, the covers, the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver. And they put the fat on the breasts. Then he burned the fat on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering and burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word, for its clarity, for its beauty. And Father, we pray that as we look at the shadows of the old covenant through the lenses of the New Testament, through the lenses of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom you fulfill all the sacrificial law, Lord, we pray that it would grant us much comfort, much strength, that you would, O Lord, indeed, satisfy our soul's need to come before you and feast with you. May you shine your glory, O Lord, through your word upon us. And as we are reminded of this precious sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ, may you grant us assurance, security. May we shout like our brothers and sisters of old before you in joy and gladness, for our sins have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray these things. Amen. Wouldn't it be strange if you were invited to a dinner, and as you come to your host's house, he doesn't let you come in? You receive the invitation, you open it up, and you are all excited because your whole family was invited. And so you put on your best clothes and you get inside the car and you excitedly drive all the way down to the house. And when you come, you go into the driveway and there is a table set at the end of the driveway. There is a candle there lit and the meal that was prepared for you is right there. And as you get out of the car and you approach the table, you look on the side, you see the window, and there are your hosts inside the house. They have a meal in their hands, and they wave at you, but they don't let you come in. Wouldn't that be strange? Wouldn't we feel crushed, humiliated with that? The whole ideal of a meal that portrays union, that portrays gathering, that portrays communion is completely destroyed in this scenario, isn't it? That which we were called to rejoice with is union and friendship and togetherness is completely destroyed in this picture. You see, as we turn together to Leviticus chapter 9, we are reminded that our Lord is a host that not only calls us to a meal, but He receives us in His presence to partake of that meal. The great God of heaven, He does not simply redeem us to be distant and afar from us as that host who sees through the window and wave at you while you are in the driveway. While there is a table set, there is no closure, there is no communion. No, that is not the God of Scripture. That's not the triune Lord. He calls us. And He calls us entirely to come before His presence, to rejoice in the communion and fellowship that He Himself has conquered for us. And we see all of that in Leviticus chapter 9. And therefore, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, as we continue to prepare to partake of these elements, as we consider these words this morning, let us be reminded that we have here an imperative call of Yahweh. Yahweh calls His people to meet Him and to have fellowship with Him, to have communion with Him through the appointed sacrifice. We can only come through that appointed sacrifice. And as we come, through that which the Lord Himself has appointed, He will bless us. He will indeed come and meet with us. He will accept us in His presence. This is what we learned this morning as we approach the table of the Lord. We learn that Yahweh calls His people to meet Him through the appointed sacrifice, blessing them with His presence and acceptance. We consider in this text under three headings. We notice first, verses 1 through 7, that we must come to the meeting. There is this imperative call. It's not an option. We must come and feast with the Lord as He has saved us from the bondage of Egypt. Secondly, we notice in verses 8 through 22 that we must trust in God's sacrifice. We must listen to the call. We must come to God's meeting, but we must trust in God's sacrifice. And lastly, we learn that we must rejoice. We must rejoice in God's blessing as He fulfills His promises. As through the appointed sacrifice, He accepts His people and He comes to meet with them, we rejoice that we now can come boldly before the presence of the Almighty, holy, holy, holy God. Yahweh calls His people to meet with Him through the appointed sacrifice, and He blesses them. He blesses them, and He accepts them in His presence. Well, as we turn our attention to the text, we notice now that the time has come for the first worship service to take place with the people and the tabernacle. If you do remember back in the book of Exodus, that was the purpose of the tabernacle. If you turn briefly with me to Exodus chapter 29, notice that the purpose of the tabernacle was not only to be a house for the dwelling of the Lord and a house in which the Lord would look at His people but be afar from them. The Lord calls the tabernacle a tent of meeting. It is a place where He comes to meet with His people. He desires to have fellowship with those whom He saved. And therefore, in Exodus 29, we read, "And there, at the tabernacle, I will meet with the children of Israel. And the tabernacle shall be sanctified by My glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to Me as priests." You see, the purpose of the tabernacle, in addition to being a testimony to God's people that the Lord is in their midst, it was also a house of gathering, was also a house of meeting. It was also erected with the purpose of receiving God's people in the presence of God Himself. God constantly calls them. But if you turn with me as well to Exodus chapter 40, the very end of the book of Exodus, you will notice that there is a tension here. And what is the tension? The tabernacle is built. The presence of the Lord is clearly manifested. But look at the text with me. Exodus 40, verse 34, "And the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." But notice, Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle. Moses couldn't come in. The purpose of the tabernacle, yes, was to remind God's people that God is in their midst. But it's also, as the Lord revealed, a tent of meeting, a place where He desires to gather with His people. And at this moment of the inauguration of the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord is shining, the Lord is present, the Lord is in the midst of His people. But the people cannot come in. Moses cannot come in. And that's precisely the reason why in Leviticus chapter 1, as we continue, you see, that's the reason why the Lord has organized His books in this order. Notice verse 1 of Leviticus. The Lord speaks from inside the tabernacle. And then He says, now, you need the sacrifices and you need priests. And that's what we have been covering so far. From Leviticus chapter 1 to Leviticus chapter 8, all that is necessary to come before the Lord, to come before the presence of the Lord, is being set and prepared. And now that we reach Leviticus chapter 9, the gathering is finally taking place. What an exciting time. He, Moses, who couldn't come in, now he will come in. But not Moses only. Moses and Aaron. And not only Moses and Aaron only. Moses, Aaron, and all the people of Israel. And therefore, the first thing we will observe in verses 1 through 5 is that there is this call, isn't it? Look, the Lord says in verse 1, "It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons, and he says, take for yourself," and he delivers all the instructions for the sacrifices. Aaron is to offer a sin offering and a burnt offering for himself, and he was also to offer a sin offering and a burnt offering for the people. The time to gather with the Lord has come. Look at verse 6. The purpose is, "The glory of the Lord will appear to you." In verse 5 we read, "The congregation is drawing near to the Lord." They're coming together to approach the holy and majestic and glorious Lord of creation and salvation. Finally, the meeting time has come. The Lord is not wavering to Israel through the window. The Lord is opening the door and saying, come in. And He says, come. Call the people. There is this imperative order. Call the people. Bring the offerings and sacrifices that I have appointed. Not only the leadership is called, the people is called. And here we see an echo, don't we, of the words of the Lord Jesus at the table that He Himself has set for His people. Do you remember the imperatives? Take, eat, take, drink. They're not options. It's not take and eat if you're feeling like. It's not take and drink if you are in the mood for. It's imperatives that the Lord is calling His people to perform. As He has saved them, as now they have communion with them, as the doors have been opened to them, as they have been effectually called, the Lord Jesus says, take and eat. This is my call to you, my people. Partake of these elements. That's the reason why our Belgian Confession and the Heidelberg Catechism call the sacrament of the Lord an ordinance. Have you ever thought about that? An ordinance is not an option. An ordinance is an order. Say, for example, Belgic Confession 33, we read, it says, "We believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, had ordained his sacraments." It's not an option for the believer. The believer who has professed his faith and who has been received as a member in full communion of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is ordained to come. That's the imperative call of Jesus, just like we read here in Leviticus chapter 9. "Now that I have removed you from Egypt, now that I have broken your bondage, now that I have saved and forgiven your sin, you come. You come the way I have commanded you to come, but you come. Listen to my call." The Heidelberg Catechism says exactly the same thing. In Heidelberg Catechism question 75, we read in the explanation of what the Lord's Supper is that it is a command. The question is, "How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits?" The answer is that Christ has commanded me. You see how emphatic is the language? It is an order. "Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of his broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him." Well, where this order comes from? Is this order new? The old covenant brothers and sisters already knew that they were commanded to come. And here, Christian, listen again to the call of Christ. Come. If you are in him, come. With self-examination, come. Come and take and eat. Come and take and drink. The one who must come is one who is part of the covenanted people of God. The one who must come is the one who is a true member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who must come is one who is able to examine himself. But he must come. There is no such a thing as administration of self-administration of discipline. The season of self-examination is precisely so that you may attend this table. You may listen to the imperative command of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may search your soul, you may search your heart, your life with the Lord, your life with the brethren, and you may repent and come and feast. For this is the table of fellowship and communion. We come then in submission. We come in awe that the Lord of glory stooped down to meet with us. Do you realize how exciting that is, Christian? That you, such a sinner, has a seat in the table of the mighty, holy, glorious, majestic God of heaven and earth. That's your privilege this morning. That's your privilege every Lord's Day. When you come to worship, the Lord receives you after effectually calling you to himself. We come and we feast. We come with desire. We come with humility. But we come and we take and we eat and we drink. But secondly, we notice as well that as we come in faith. We must come in trust. Not in trust of our own merits, because we have none. But we come trusting in the sacrifice appointed by the Lord. And we see that in a longer portion of this text, verses 8 through 22, you notice it describes that Aaron is offering now the whole sacrificial system. And there are two things here I want you to particularly pay attention to. The first one is that both Aaron and the people needs the sacrifice. Verses 8 through 14 is Aaron offering sacrifice for himself. Notice that that was the command. Verse 2 says, "Take for yourself a young bull." And later on in verse 7, we read that Aaron offered sacrifice for his sins and for the sins of his people. It's not because Aaron is the priest that he's in a different category from me and you. He needs forgiveness of sin just as much as any regular Israel. He's just as sinner as anyone in the congregation of the Old Testament. And he needs the same appeasing, the same atonement, the same forgiveness. He needs the same Lord to open the door for him.
And that's exactly what verses 8 and 14 tells us. Aaron is offering the sacrifice for him and for his sons. There is no special treatment for Aaron because he's a priest. He needs it as well. But so does need the people. And that's what we learn in verses 15 all the way to verse 22. All the sacrifices are offering. There is no special treatment. Aaron and the people need that sacrifice. But notice which sacrifices are offered. That's the second thing I want you to observe. All of them. Notice, the sin offering is offered. The burnt offering is offered. So in verse, you'll read in verse 8, the offering of the sin offering. In verse 12, you read the offering of the burnt offering. And then in verses 15 to 22, consecutively, you read the offering of the sin, the burnt, the grain offering, and the peace offerings. Now, it will serve us very well to remember what each one of these offerings pointed us unto. The sin offering, the first one to be offered, paid for your sin. Not that the offering itself paid for it, but it was a reminder that in sin you cannot come into my presence. I need to wash you first, says the Lord. I need to cleanse you first, for my holiness will consume you if you come before me in sin. And therefore, then sin offering is offered. And now that the sinner then is cleansed by the ordinance of the Lord, now comes the burnt offering, which is a full sacrifice. All the burnt offering, all the offering was consumed. Remember, the burnt offering pointed to the complete consecration of the believer. Now that my sin is removed, now that my sin has been washed, I offer myself entirely to the Lord. That's what the burnt offering meant. And now that I offer myself entirely to the Lord, then comes the time of fellowship, the grain offering, which means I seat with the Lord and I have peace with Him. That's the same thing which means the peace offering. The grain offering and the peace offering together was a proclamation to the people that the Lord has accepted you. The Lord has received you. There is peace and fellowship between you and the Almighty God. Your sin has been atoned for. You now has come before Him in full consecration. He therefore receives you in His presence and He has fellowship with you. You see, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what this table proclaimed to us this morning. As we come before this table remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are also reminded that all those sacrifices were fulfilled in the death of Christ. As we come before this table and then we come in faith in the sacrifice of Christ, our sins are forgiven. He is our sin offering. And as we come to the table, looking to Christ, trusting in His perfect sacrifice, He is our burnt offering. Because He consumed Himself entirely, now we come offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Because we come in faith in Christ, there is reconciliation. Isn't that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? That was the ministry that was given to him, the ministry of reconciliation. That the preaching and proclamation of the gospel reminds the sinner, announces to the sinner that as he comes through Christ Jesus our Lord, there is peace. There is peace between him and the Holy Father. Now indwelt by the Spirit of God, because Christ has gone to the Father, they are received. The many mansions are opened. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer says, come with boldness. Come with boldness. Come with faith. Come with desire as you trust in Him who is your sin offering, your burnt offering, your grain offering, your peace offering. And therefore, Christians, as we come and we take and eat, let us be reminded of that. That the table reminds us of that perfect, once-for-all offered sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself dying at the cursed cross for sinners such as me and you. And now He is our sin offering. And although we still struggle with sin in our lives, we are constantly reminded that we come back to Him in confession, in true repentance, and forgiveness is granted us every day of our lives. And as we come with the desire to full consecration, not with partial consecration. Isn't that sometimes what marks our lives? We consecrate some areas to the Lord, but other areas we make as idols for ourselves. These areas are very dear to me. The Lord has no control over them. I am the one who rules them. No. The perfect sacrifice of Christ reminds us that we come as a burnt offering. We come in full consecration. And we come to rejoice in the fellowship. And that's the reason why, because of the offering, the peace offering and the grain offering, that we come with joy. That's what marks the conclusion of this text, isn't it? And that's what must mark our souls this morning as we partake of these elements, as we rejoice in our salvation in Christ, as we praise Him for His blessed once for all sacrifice. We must come, Christian, with joy, shouting in our souls that the great God in heaven receives us. The text tells us in verses 22 and 23 that now Aaron comes down from the place where the offerings were made. It seems that this place was an elevated place. You see, Aaron lifted up his hands. Here is the conclusion of the service, if you will. By the way, Leviticus chapter 9 is indeed an entire worship service, an order of worship service in the Old Testament. If you want to understand why we do what we do in public worship every Lord's Day, please study with your family Leviticus chapter 9. Here you will see all the elements of worship that are continuing in the New Testament. So you have here the benediction. Why do we conclude our worship services with a benediction? Because that's the way in which not only the letters of the Apostle Paul and other apostles were written, but also because that's how the Old Testament worship ended. Aaron lifted his hands and he blessed the people, and then he comes down from the offering place. But here's the great moment. The moment to come in. The moment to get out of the driveway, now cleansed, now washed, now with sins forgiven, now with faith in the sacrifice, to come to the presence of the Lord. The Lord will not consume us. The text tells us, verse 22, that Moses and Aaron finally went into the tabernacle of meeting. That which Exodus 40 tells us that didn't happen, now finally happens. The moment that the tent of meeting really becomes the tent of meeting is right here before our eyes. Sinners can enter the presence of a holy God, and they are accepted. How we know that they are accepted? Because they get out. Look, verse 23. They went into the tabernacle, and they came out of the tabernacle. They were not consumed by the zeal and holiness and glory of God as they come before His majestic presence. They are accepted in the presence of God. That's why we must come in faith in the sacrifice that Christ has made. For as we come in faith in Him, then we are received. That the Lord really come to have fellowship with the people is clearly portrayed to us in the next verses. The text tells us that He comes. The Lord consumes the burnt offering. Isn't that fascinating? The Lord eats with the people. He's consuming. The burning of the sacrifice is a declaration of acceptance, but it's also a declaration of fellowship. The mighty God is sitting at the table, and He's coming to feast with His people. And the text tells us that the response of the people is that they shouted. Joy fills the souls and hearts, but not irreverent joy. Look at the text. They shout, but but they fell on their faces. They know who has come to meet with them. It is Almighty God. It is Jehovah Jireh. It is the one who destroyed the Egyptians. Is the one who destroyed all the enemies of his people. Is the one who is the everlasting, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He himself has come to meet with his people. And you see, Christian, this is exactly what the table proclaimed to us, isn't it? That Christ has come to meet with you. We learned that beautifully in John chapter 14, isn't it? Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in that blessed passage? In John chapter 14, we are reminded that Jesus desires to be with us. And that he dies so that he may be with us. He says in verse 3, he says, "And if I go, so if I die and I resurrect and I ascend and I go back to my Father, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." Christian, Christ died for you because he desires to be with you. That's what he says in his word. And that's what the table proclaims to you this morning. The table proclaims that you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. Because the Son has offered himself as a sin sacrifice and as a burnt sacrifice and as a grain sacrifice and as a peace sacrifice for you. And therefore now he calls you to come and to enter boldly in the presence of Yahweh. So rejoice. May your soul rejoice. If you are weary, rejoice. If you are weak, rejoice. If you have stumbled, repent, confess, and rejoice. Because the house is open. And the host calls. All those whom he has received into his kingdom, he calls imperatively to take and eat, to take and drink. Yahweh calls his people to meet him through the appointed sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come through Christ, we are blessed. We are fed. And his presence is made in our midst, for we are accepted. Remember, Christian, the house is open. The table is set. Sin was punished. Wrath is extinguished. The debt has been paid, empty, turned into fellowship and communion. Come, take, eat, drink. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the shadows of the old covenant. And as you call your people, O Lord, to partake of these elements in faith in the once for all offered sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, may you bless us. May you strengthen us, O Lord, and may you use this sacrament and your word, which is proclaimed with it, to feed our weary and needy souls, to strengthen our faith, to make us shout with joy for the salvation that has been given us. And may we, O Lord, dwell in peace with you and our brethren, rejoicing in our common Lord, in our common salvation, in the common cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, set for those who come to him, drawn by him in repentance and faith. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.